often, American society gives women idealized impressions of romantic partner relationships, leading women to believe the perfect relationship will be perfectly easy, and if it takes work, it's not the right relationship. So, of course, I talked to my girlfriends about this.
Okay, well, what are some of your memories about, like, your first ideas of romantic relationships? What do you remember thinking about it as a kid?
I definitely remember this idea of, like, you're going to be swept off your feet, you're going to have your Prince Charming, this guy who, or person who you can't live without, and they're going to be a perfect match, and blah, 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 and not learning, like, well, I learned from my friends.
I remember being on, like, vacation with my family, like, at like, the beach, and being like, oh, like, I have a family, and we'll come here. And,
totally.
And it's, like, those were, like, the, like, fantasies I was having more so than, like, I'm going to fall in love with a boy.
No, I think about that, too, my mom got married so young.
My first romantic relationship was when I was five, so.
Your first, it was when you were five?
Yeah, when I was five, and I think, like, when I was five, the idea of it was someone who thinks you're pretty and someone who gives
you must
things,
be attracted to.
Who gives you things that is nice to you.
Yeah.
And that's your boyfriend. And, I mean, sort of that's still what a boyfriend is, right?
In some respects.
You're pretty, he gives you things, and it's nice to you.
Relatively nice.
But this piece isn't just about messages society gives women about romantic relationships. It's about the fact that love is complicated. And to showcase this point, here are stories of my grandparents' relationship, my parents' relationship, and of course me and my sister's relationships, along with the lessons we've learned. These stories are hard to share for me, and of course this isn't even half of them. But in an effort to change the narrative women are fed about relationships, I wanted to share honest confessions about the hardships of relationships from a female perspective, the very females who have helped shape my perspective of romantic relationships.
From your perspective, Grammy has rose-colored glasses about their relationship.
From my perspective, you're correct. She's got very rose-colored glasses.
This is a conversation between me, my mom, and my sisters, Brooke and Katie.
But your dad, I think I heard the story about before your dad died, you guys were talking or he was talking to you, and I guess Grammy was trying to, I don't know, do extra love on him, be sweet, and his comment to you was it was too little too late.
Said she wants to make me love her again. I can't do it now.
When he was dying?
My mom, I mean, if you guys think she was a hellion, you should have been raised by her. I know they probably had a good marriage. They were young, obviously, and they fought. They never had any money, and they fought for the way they... I mean, Dad had land, and he would tell you he was land poor because we never really had a lot of money. I remember, and this is 1979, I remember when he was dying, he said, I got my debts down to below $100,000. I can see light at the end of the tunnel. And I was a 24-year-old. In 1979, and I'm like...
That's a lot of money in 1979, too.
I'm like, holy moly. I don't know what I'd do if I owed $100,000 per
se. I'm about to find out.
Anyway, but I remember them. I remember him being... I remember him being like me. And turn around, walk the other way to keep from fighting. I guess that's where I learned a lot. You know, somebody's yelling at you and saying things and not being nice. Instead of standing up for yourself, you just sort of turn around like, you know, I'm messing with it right now. That's what I remember. I asked her one time before she felt like she is now, I asked her about it. I said, Mom, you always talk about him. Like, you just had the best marriage ever. I mean, is that how you remember it? And she said, we had our ups and downs, but I loved him like no other. And I know he loved me. I'm like, okay.
The off chance that people ever ask me about my parents, I just always say that they're dating.
Yeah, it's usually what I say to him, like, well, they've separated, but they kind of date each other.
I don't know what we have. I mean, Dad and I have our own issues. Like, I've tried, especially in recent years, I have actually tried that it's a one-time deal.
What do you mean?
Well, like, this never happened, or this doesn't normally happen. This is the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But my insides just can't do that. I mean, if he only got drunk, I hate to even throw him under the bus, but if he only got drunk, that was his one time, you know, it'd be funny. I'd laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't go back. My insides won't let me. You know, if I see him, I immediately get sick to my stomach.
Yeah. You know, he has a disease.
And I've gone through that. I mean, I've said that. It's a disease. It's a disease. Mm-hmm. And if he had cancer, would you feel bad about that? Or would you do this? Or would you do that? You know, because it is a disease. But it's just, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I will always love him. I mean, I will always love his heart. And I know deep down he would take care of me. I know that for a fact. If I ever had anything wrong with me, I don't have a doubt in my mind that that man would take care of me. He would go to the nth degree to make sure I was okay. And so that's a comforting kind of feeling, especially at this stage. It's a comforting feeling. But, you know, would I go back to and have that on a daily basis and deal with the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? I just soon curl up here. So.
Yeah, Josh and I broke up so many, I don't know how many times, we probably broke up like once a year or once every year and a half or something. For, you know, one time it was like a week and a half, a few days. But every time, like, it was always him coming back and then me.
Well, I guess take house and house. Yeah, there's some scandalous stuff. Ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a horrific night, so. Oh, God. Josh fucking busting in with his foot.
Because it was his house he was paying rent for, and you were there sleeping with somebody.
Ooh. And cut.
That's who said it. Broke up and he let you stay in his house and he's paying.
That was
it. He brings somebody in the little house. I'm gonna have to go. I mean, maybe he shouldn't have kicked the door down, but he had every right to be angry.
That's the craziest thing, though, is that he wasn't even angry. He wanted to talk to me. I thought he was like a serial killer. Because he freaking bust the window open with his foot. It's bleeding profusely. There's glass everywhere. And he's just like, I just want to talk to you.
Okay, he was clearly angry, whether he expressed that or not.
Yeah.
And by what he said, you don't kick glass in.
Yeah. Well, yes, he was angry, I guess. But whatever. Anyways, that was a very volatile relationship. And it's over.
Greg, he came in obviously with Josh and with Mike. You two were a little crazy.
Me and Josh?
No, both of you, like with your relationships.
Oh, and, yeah.
The back and forth and your choices. And so
Mike wasn't really in the picture.
No, Mike was around when Josh was around, too.
No, I mean, when Greg came in, because I was pretty... I was, like, halfway pregnant.
Yeah, but you thought it was his baby, yeah, and you wanted to be with him.
Yeah. Just, like, a few more months.
He was going to be the baby. Baby daddy.
I always knew that communication was really important to me because of you and Dad's relationship, but I didn't have necessarily like the tools to have it. And I don't know if this is like being a youngest child or maybe because the volatility or stuff that would happen, but I feel like usually I kind of take the role of if there's an argument or something happens, I don't even, like, know how I feel in the moment. My initial reaction is just to, like, diffuse the situation. I don't, like, respond with what I'm feeling or what I think about. It's more like trying to just listen to the other person or figure out how to make it better. You know, I think it's good to try to be, you know, listen to the other person, but it's also important to actually, like, know how you feel about it. So I've tried to be more... I don't know, I guess present and how I'm feeling. I didn't say that.
I need to delay my reactions. I have no desire to diffuse a situation. Not my first instinct. You said what? Unacceptable. I don't know. In answer to your question, because I've thought about it the past few days, the only thing I could really come up with is that in high school, I just never grasped the concept of work in a relationship. I was, you know, I stayed... in love all through in lust, and when that was over, so was the relationship. Yeah. And when you marry someone, you can't just get rid of them that fast. So you have to work on it. I think that's been the most surprising part. Just, you know, as much as you love someone, you have to constantly... communicate and talk and agree and compromise, none of which are my strong suit.
Don't let anybody steal your joy. I mean, that's one thing I will tell you from here on, man. Life is short. And be happy. I mean, you're going to have to work at your relationship. You're right, that's always going to be. But work on it together. Don't let it be one-sided.